Let's open the Scriptures, Exodus chapter 19. Verse number 7. And Moses came and called for the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all these words which God commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, "All that the Lord has spoken we will do." And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear that I speak with thee, and believe thee forever." And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves, that ye go not up into the mount, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or be shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount." And Moses went down from the mount unto the people, and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, "Be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives." And it came to pass on the third day in the morning, that there were thunders and lightnings, and a thick cloud upon the mount, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God, and they stood at the nether part of the mount. And Mount Sinai was altogether in a smoke, because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mountain quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai, on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount. And Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Go down, charge the people, lest they break through unto the Lord to gaze, and many of them perish. And let the priests also, which come near to the Lord, sanctify themselves, lest the Lord break forth upon them." And Moses said unto the Lord, "The people cannot come up to the Mount Sinai, for thou chargest us, saying, Set bounds about the mount and sanctify it." And the Lord said unto him, "Away, get thee down, and thou shalt come up, thou and Aaron with thee. But let not the priests and the people break through to come up unto the Lord, lest he break forth upon them." So Moses went down unto the people and spake unto them. We know that God himself will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we bow before thee this morning. And we thank thee and we praise thee for thy precious word. We thank thee, Lord, that we can gather round thy book today. And Lord, we can listen to thy voice. And I pray, Lord, that by thy Holy Spirit, that thou wilt minister to the needs of each and every heart that's gathered before thee. Lord, we can say, "Thou, God, seest me, and thou knowest me altogether." And God, thou knowest the hearts of every one of us as we're bowed in thy presence. Oh God, Lord, we long to be perfectly whole. We want thee forever to live in my soul. Break down every idol and cast out every foe. Lord, wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord, we've been singing together, "Search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, and know my thoughts, I pray." O God, I pray that Thou will do that even as we open Thy Word together, and that Thou will search us out before Thee, that we might come to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen and amen. In this 19th chapter of the book of Exodus, we have already been looking upon it. And first of all, in the opening verses, we've been noticing that God reminded the people of exactly what He did for them and what God desires even to do through them and to them. For God wants to make them a special people, a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. And God wants to make them a kingdom unto me, a kingdom of priests and holy nation. And these are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. And so we see the remembrance that God brings before them, how that God redeemed them, and how that God bare them and brought them even out of the land of bondage into the land, into the promise. He would bring them into the promised land. But then notice, secondly, we noted the requirement, because God asked these children to obey Him. And there was a call for obedience. And God would do this for them if they would be obedient unto Him. And you'll notice it says in verse 7, "And Moses came and called the elders of the people, and laid before their faces all the words which the Lord commanded. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord hath spoken, we will do." My friend, how easy it is to say it. How easy it is to promise it. All that God will say to me, I will do. But my friend, there is the requirement of obedience. God demanded obedience. They had to obey the Lord. And then the response was, all that God will say, we will do. I wonder, is that the response in your heart and mine this morning? Whatever God will say to me, I will not listen to the voice of man, but I will heed the voice of God, and all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Trust and obey, for there is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. I want us to think this morning of the next thought, and that is the revelation. Because God says that He is coming down to the mount, and God is going to give them the statutes, and God is going to give the law to Moses. But I want you to notice how God says that He's going to do it, because before God gives His statutes to Israel, He promises Moses that He's going to come down to the mount, and that God is going to speak to him. God is going to speak to him. Let's go to verse number 9, "And the Lord said unto Moses, lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever." In other words, God is saying, notice He says, "Moses, I am going to speak with thee." He didn't say, "I'm going to speak to the people." He said, "Moses, I'm coming down to the mount," and He says, "I am going to speak with thee." But He said, this purpose is this, that when I speak with thee, I want the people to hear me talking to you. I want the people to know that I am speaking unto thee. And God says that when they hear me speak with thee, they will believe thee forever. In other words, God was saying here that He was going to speak to him, and God was going to put the stamp of divine approval upon Moses, His servant, in the presence of an unbelieving people. You see, my friend, these people have said, when Moses said to them, God is going to command us to obey Him, and God requires obedience from us. And the people quickly said, just my friend, without knowing what God was going to demand of them, all that God says we will do. But my friend, whenever they hear what God says, whenever God lays down His laws and lays His statutes before them,
We find that there will be a rebellion in their heart. And instead of obeying God, they will refuse and rebel to obey God because it is not what they want to hear. And God says, I'm going to come down to the mountain, Moses. And this is going to be a testing time, but I'm going to come down to the mount. And I want you to bring the people, and I want you to let the people stand at the mount, not on the mount, but at the mount. And I want you to let the people hear me, because I'm going to speak with you, Moses. And I'm going to meet with you, Moses. And I'm going to speak to you, and the people, whenever I'm speaking to you, they shall hear me when I'm speaking to thee. And he said, they shall know that they shall believe thee forever. And Moses told the words of the people unto the Lord. God was going to commission. God was going to put his stamp of authority. He was going to authenticate the commission that he was giving to Moses before the people. And the message that he was giving unto Moses. And from that day on, the people would know that God, this was not Moses' message. This was God's message. My friend, we have to be very careful, you know. And I fear sometime when I hear people speak about God's people and God's children. Because you see, when God's stamp of approval was upon Moses' life, it wasn't because there was something special in Moses. It was that he was God's chosen vessel. That's what he simply was. And God says, listen, I am going to put my stamp of authority and approval upon my servant, and the people are going to know. God could have spoken to the people, friend. He didn't. He says, Moses, I'm coming down to the mount to speak with thee. And I'm going to let the people listen in. And when I speak with my audible voice, the people will hear me speak with thee. And they shall believe, they shall know that my stamp of approval is upon thee. Can I ask you a question this morning? Every child of God, is the seal of God's approval upon your life? It is so easy today, my friend, listen, to talk carelessly about God's people and God's servants. It is so easy to talk, my friend, with a glibness. Can I ask the solemn question, is God's stamp of approval upon your life? Is God's seal of approval upon your witness? How many souls are there that I have lifted? How many souls are there that I have freed? My friend, it is so important that we might know the stamp of God's approval upon our lives. Because that's the only thing that counts, not the stamp of man's approval, but the stamp of God's approval, that we might know that the seal of Almighty God is upon us, and that upon our lives. And God says, listen, I am here, Moses, and I'm coming down to the mount, Moses, and I'm going to talk to thee. And I'm going to let the people know that this is my voice, and I'm going to put my approval upon your message, because I'm going to give it to you. But friend, let me tell you, before this would happen, before God would do it, there were requirements in this revelation of God. And I want you to notice this. Verse number 10. And the Lord said unto Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today. And sanctify them today and tomorrow. And let them wash their clothes. And be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. And I want you to listen carefully to this, friend, because this is important. Because God is coming down in the sight of all the people. But before God gives this law to Israel, he reveals himself in all of his authority and all his attributes, but he makes a demand upon them. He says, sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. And that's the major thought that I want to talk about this morning. It's sanctification. sanctification. Sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes. In the Old Testament, the word sanctify is used in three senses. Three senses. First of all, it means, sanctify means setting apart. Setting apart. And what it simply means is this, it is the setting apart something that is common, something that's just ordinary. Something that in the past may have been legitimately used for ordinary use, and yet now it has been set apart for God's service alone. Go to the 13th chapter of the book of Exodus, and the verse number 2, and it says this. Sanctify unto me, there's the word. Sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Whose or whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And what God is saying here, that there is to be the setting apart. You see, whenever God judged there in the land of Egypt, we remember that God brought destruction upon the firstborn of Egypt. And when God brought death upon the firstborn of Egypt, then God claimed the firstborn of the Jews or the Israelites, of their cattle and of their men. And God says, they're mine. He took the tribe of Levi. And God set the tribe of Levi apart to be His, to be representative of the firstborn, to stand before the Lord day and night in His tabernacle and in His temple. In other words, they were set apart. They were set apart to be priests. The Levites were set apart. They were said to be sanctified. Sanctified. Of course, there is one earlier mention of it in the Bible. Turn to the 2nd chapter of the book of Genesis. And you'll see the first mention of the word sanctify in Genesis chapter 2. And in verse number 3 it says this, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. God blessed the seventh day and He sanctified it. In other words, it was set apart. See, up to that moment, friend, let me tell you. Up to that part, it was just an ordinary portion of time. But now God sets it apart. The seventh day God sets it apart for His service. And in that day man was not to do his work, but he was to serve the Lord. He was to serve the Lord his Maker. In other words, sanctify means set apart for use. For God's use. Turn to the book of Leviticus. In the book of Leviticus, God made another claim in the book of Leviticus chapter 27. And it says there in the verse number 14, it says this, and when a man shall sanctify his house to be holy unto the Lord, then the priest shall estimate it, whether it be good or bad, as the priest shall estimate it, so shall it stand. And if he that sanctified it will redeem his house, then he shall add the fifth part of the money of thy estimation unto it, and it shall be his. And if a man shall sanctify unto the Lord some part of a field. Here we see sanctification. It is the setting apart. The setting apart of a house for God's service. The setting apart of a field for God's service. What does that mean? It means that the produce of the field or the occupation of the house shall be wholly given to God's priests or Levites. It is to be set apart for holy use. That's what the word means, to sanctify. And therefore it means simply setting apart for holy use. Now, when God speaks to you and me and of you and me, friend, it speaks about sanctification. In the book of Jude, in the verse number 1, it says, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. In other words, God has specially set apart a people for Himself. God has set apart His people for Himself. The amazing thing is that way back before the world was created, God set a people apart for Himself amongst the teeming multitudes of men. And God chose a people, and God set apart a people, yes, to them that are sanctified by God the Father. Set apart. Set apart for God, set apart for service. We are set apart before we were ever created. We were set apart by the purchase of Christ. We are set apart by the effectual calling of the Holy Spirit of God. That's what the word sanctify mean. But there's a second meaning. And the second meaning of the word sanctify is not only signifying being set apart for holy use, but is being regarded or declared and treated as a holy thing, sanctified. Treated, regarded, and declared as a holy thing. Sanctify. Way back there in the book of Isaiah chapter 8, let's just look for a moment. There's a statement in Isaiah chapter 8 and the verse number 13, and it says this. Sanctify the Lord of hosts. Sanctify the Lord of hosts Himself. And let Him be your fear, and let Him be your dread. Now friend, that cannot mean that you set apart the Lord of hosts Himself for holy use. As if that He somehow needed to be set apart, or He needed to be purified. Because that's not true. He is holy. Be ye holy even as I am holy. But it means that we are to adore, we are to reverence the Lord. We are to regard Him as the Holy One of Israel. We're to sanctify the Lord Himself. But what does this mean in respect to us? The second meaning of the word sanctify. Being treated, being declared, being regarded as a holy thing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 2, it says this, sanctified in Christ Jesus. Sanctified in Christ. What does this mean? It simply means this, that in Christ, you and I as God's children, we are regarded as holy. We are treated as such. We are regarded by God as being holy. That's an amazing thought. That you and I are regarded, you and I are declared, you and I are treated as holy, even though you and I know that in our own hearts, that there are things that grieve us in our own hearts, because we know that we are in practice not perfect or completely holy. And yet we are sanctified in Christ Jesus. And you see, the glorious truth here is the imputed righteousness of Christ. In other words, the righteousness of Christ is imputed to me. And as God looks upon me, He sees me in Christ Jesus. And when God looks at my heart, friend, He does not see me. When He looks in Christ, He sees no perfect imperfection. He sees absolute perfection because He sees me in Christ, sanctified in Christ Jesus. And so therefore, as God looks upon the believer's heart today, even though you and I in our own hearts know that we are far from perfect, yet there is the imputed righteousness of Christ. Now let me say that I'm not talking about imputed justification, because that's wrong. There's a false teaching. There is a false teaching concerning imputed justification. Friend, let me tell you, justification is not imputed. Justification is actually conferred upon me. We are justified only through the righteousness of Christ. And because of Christ's work, because of what Jesus Christ did for me on the cross of Calvary, thank God I am sanctified, I am regarded, I am treated, I am declared as if I were perfectly holy in Christ Jesus. Because of the righteousness of Christ, which is imputed to me. For the sake of what Christ Jesus did at the cross, God's people, although in ourselves we are partially sanctified, we're still subject to sin. Yet for Christ's sake, we are treated, we are regarded as if we were perfectly holy. Not as we were in Adam's fall, when sin and ruin covered all, but as we'll stand another day, fairer than sun's meridian ray. Thank God for the sanctification which is in Christ Jesus. But there's a third way that sanctification is used in the Scripture. And it's the usual sense that is employed. And that's what's in Exodus chapter 19. And in Exodus chapter 19, God says to his servant Moses, go unto the people and sanctify them today and tomorrow and let them wash their clothes. Verse 14, and Moses went down from the mount unto the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And Moses said unto the people, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. Sanctify. They were to prepare themselves. You see, sanctification is a work in us. Justification was a work for us. Jesus Christ worked for us at the cross, but sanctification is a work in us. And friend, listen, there is the daily dying unto sin. And that's what God desires you and me. Listen, He says, be ready against the third day. But what did it mean? It says, sanctify them today and sanctify them tomorrow and be ready. Wash their clothes. Be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. The sanctifier, of course, working in us, is the Holy Spirit. You see the work we are sanctified in the Father? That's what we said when we read that verse over there in the book of Jude. To them that are sanctified by God the Father. And then when we came to the passage of God's Word, where it tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 verse 2, we are sanctified in Christ Jesus. But then turn to 1 Peter chapter 1. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, we read it this morning, whenever we were reading the Scriptures earlier on, it said this, verse 2, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit. You see, in our sanctification, friend, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it says we are through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. And so we see here the sanctifier is the Holy Spirit. And He's working effectually and effectively in our hearts. And how does He do it? Of course, He sanctifies us through the blood. Through the blood of Jesus. Through the precious blood. But thank God also through the Word. Sanctify them through Thy Word. Thy truth. Thy Word is truth. That process of sanctification in our lives, friend. Listen, is it going on in your heart? Are you dying daily unto sin? Are you enjoying what the Holy Spirit is doing in your heart, friend, as He sanctifies you? As He's working in your lives, we sing the wee chorus sometimes, the wee children's chorus, He's still working on me to make me what He wants me to be. And friend, thank God, the Lord is working on His people. You know, the wee chorus goes on to say, it only took Him 6 days to make the sun and the stars, and the sun and the stars, and Jupiter and Mars, but my, He's got a different job whenever He's working on me. Because He works on me, friend. It's taking a longer process, isn't it? But thank God, He is working. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, it says this. It tells us there in verse 25, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. And what's this process all about? Verse 27. That He might present it unto Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Our sanctification, friend, thank God, will be complete. Oh, positionally, we are sanctified. We are regarded. We are treated. We are looked upon by God the Father in Christ Jesus, sanctified in Christ Jesus. But there is the process of our practical sanctification, that daily walk with God where we die more and more unto sin and we live more and more unto righteousness. It says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3, for this is the will of God. What is? Even your sanctification. This is the will of God. Even your sanctification. And He wants us to be more like the Savior. He says, be ye holy, even as I am holy. And so by the word of God and by the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God works in our hearts, and the process of our sanctification, praise God, is going on today. And praise God, it'll be complete because He'll present us without spot or without wrinkle or any such thing. Are you letting God have His way in your life this morning? You see, here we find God says, Moses, go down and tell the people, sanctify them today and tomorrow. For God says, the third day, I'm coming down to thee. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, it says, if a man therefore purge himself from these, what things, man? Verse 20 says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but wood and earth, and some of honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor. Here's it. Sanctified. And meet for the Master's use. That's where God can put a stamp of approval upon your life, then. Where God comes in and your heart is yielded to Him. You know, we need to strive after practical holiness. And here we find God saying to Moses, sanctify. Sanctify them. But very quickly, friend, as we finish, let's notice the reaction. God came down that day, the third day, verse 16. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there was thunder and lightnings and a thick cloud upon the mountain, and the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that were in the camp trembled. There was a cleansing. But before God came down, friend, there was not only a cleansing, there was a curtailing. Look at verse 12. And thou shalt set bounds unto the people around about, saying, take heed to yourselves,
that ye go not up to the mountain, or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall surely be put to death. Therefore shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned and shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. God said, Moses, put a barrier on the mountain. There's a curtailing here. He puts a limit. You know what God tells him? He says, he tells him there's things that they're not to do. And God says there's places they're not to go. Notice what they're not to do. In verse number 15, be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. What is that talking about? In other words, that was a distraction. There would be a distraction. If these men were to come and have the normal relationship with their wives, friend, in the midst of this special visitation of God, God says, listen, you know, the devil will want to distract you. He says, come not at your wives. Because there's things you're not to do. And then God says, listen, Moses, put a bounds around the mount. Because they're not to come onto it and they're not to touch it. They're to come to it. And God says there's places you are not to go. And friend, in our fellowship with God, in our walk with God, and in our daily walk with God, we need to realize there are things that we cannot do and there's things we cannot, places we cannot go if we're going to obey Him. There's a curtailing. And then there's a congregating. Verse 17. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. They were to gather together to worship. Now I know that people today, it's people sometimes like to be on their own. And there's a time for being, come ye apart and rest a while. But the congregation needs to come together, not forgetting the forsaking of yourselves, not forsaking the coming together of the people of God, and we need to worship the Lord. We're not to forsake the gathering of God's people to worship Him. And God says this. He said that they were come to the mount. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. And God spake. God spake. Time's away this morning. Look at verse 18. And Mount Sinai was together in smoke. Because the Lord descended in a fire. Smoke thereof ascended in the smoke of a furnace. And the whole mount quaked greatly. When the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake and God answered him. The voice. The reaction, first of all, they trembled. Whenever God visited that mount, the people trembled. Sad today, there's little fear of God before men and women's eyes. There's not the reverence, there's not the awe of God. Friend, when we come into God's presence, let me tell you this. We come into God's house, we come to worship Him. We come to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Oh, that we would have that godly reverence of the Lord. That we might know that God is here. That we are in the presence not of my brethren, not of my sisters. But I'm in the very presence of the God of glory. And remember when the seraphims were in His presence. They covered their face. And they covered their feet. And with twain they did fly. They trembled. A fear of God. But Moses talked with God. And the wonderful thing is this here. And Moses spake and God answered him. Verse 19. By a voice. Why? This was God declaring to Moses as he said at the beginning. He says, Moses, I want you to obey me. He says, I'm going to come down to the mountain. When I come down to the mount, Moses, I'm going to talk with thee. And the people will hear. and they'll believe thee forever. Oh, today that we might hear God's voice. That you have come with that heart that says to the Lord this morning, oh God, please speak to me. And Lord, you're working in my life. You're working. You're sanctifying me. The process of sanctification is going on in my heart. Please, God, help me to yield. You know, we sang the hymn this morning, all to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. And then we sang these words. I surrender all. Have we? Or will we? And then we sang, search me, O God. Our Heavenly Father, we bow in Thy holy presence in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee and we praise Thee today that Thou art a gracious God. We thank Thee for Thy love towards us, that Thou would condescend to come down even to speak with Moses. And yet, Lord, we thank Thee that Thou didst even more than that. Because Thou didst send Thy Son into this world in the fullness of time. And He went to Calvary's cross and He died in our guilty room instead that we might never perish, but that we might have eternal life. Lord, I pray that as our hearts are bowed before Thee, that Lord, may it be so that not only our heads are bowed, but, O God, may our hearts be bowed in reverence of who Thou art and in submission to Thy will. And, O God, this morning we pray that we might go home having surrendered all. I surrender all. May that be so, for Jesus' sake.